Right, and we're taking care of business for you this morning. Welcome to Biz Talk. We're glad you're with us. My name is Tony Bush, and I'm here this morning with co-host Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Looks like another beautiful day out there.
A little rain later today, but it's going to be a warm one.
Oh, yeah.
And our guest this morning is Kurt Haling. Kurt is one of the owners and a CPA of Alberts & Haling CPAs. We'll be getting to Kurt in just a moment. We just wanted to tell you a little bit about SCORE. SCORE is a local, it's actually a national organization. We have a local chapter here in the Fox Cities. We service an 8-county area from Appleton down to Fond du Lac. What SCORE does is we offer free counseling services, mentoring services to business owners and those folks who would like to start a business. We have training sessions, we have webinars, we have seminars. We're going to be talking some about that, about some of those in just a minute. And it's free, so if you want to learn more about SCORE for your business ambitions, or if you're running a business now, you'd like to get some assistance in growing it, you can look us up at scorefoxcities.com. Foxcities.score.org.
There we go.
That's the old website.
Yeah.
Foxcities.score.org.
There you go.
And you can also find us on biztalkwithscore.com.
Right. Just as a reminder, if you use the BizTalk with SCORE website, you can not only check in for volunteering as a counselor, requesting counseling, and also you can click on to any of the programs that we're going to be having. So you can register right off of that site, too. So it's one site, real easy. Just come out to the BizTalk site.
BizTalk also, we have a record of all the archived programs that we've had for about the last year or so.
Right.
And that's building as well. So if you recall hearing a guest on the show and you'd like to hear how that conversation went, you can go to biztalkwithscore.com and listen to the archived programs. And as Randy mentioned, we are looking for mentors. We're looking for volunteers in our chapter. So if you're interested in mentoring business owners, you have some professional experience, that you're an expert in your field, please look us up on the website. We'd be happy to talk to you. And if you're interested in helping to volunteer with the SCORE chapter, doing some administrative things and not doing the mentoring, we can use some help along those lines as well. Randy, I did mention that we do have some seminars once in a while. We've got a couple coming up. What's coming up?
Right. The next seminar that's coming up is going to be on August the 16th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be here at the SCORE office in the Fox Cities Chamber Building. Recommend if you plan on coming, park in the north lot there because, of course, with the streets being torn up and so on. But, yeah, the program itself is going to be legal questions. It's going to be errors and pitfalls of business law. If you have any questions regarding your business and legal questions, it's going to be a great session. You get about 3 hours of one-on-one with the attorneys from Epiphany Law. We're going to have Kevin Eisman as the primary speaker. But they're going to be talking about questions about how do you get paid with, you know, what kind of contracts to use, successful funding sources for your business, what is business liability, personal liability, how to limit them, protecting intellectual property, which is one of the questions a lot of people have, and also things like planning succession. What happens at the end? How do I pass the business on to my children or to whoever and however? These are questions that everybody in business should have, and this is going to give you an excellent opportunity to be able to sit down one-on-one with an attorney and get all of these questions answered for you.
Kevin has done this presentation in the past for SCORE and also for eSeed and a few other groups that work with small business owners. I've heard it several times.
Right.
It's very good. And another interesting thing about his presentation is business owners may be in business now or folks may want to start a business, and they don't have any idea of some of the risks out there. So just by going to this seminar, it's not intended to frighten people. It's intended to inform people.
Yeah.
So you can avoid the surprises.
Yeah. Find out what you need to know before you need to know it.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good idea. As I said, the program is on August the 16th. It is at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. The cost is $35. We ask that you go out to the website, and that would be our website with biz, which is biztalkwithscore.com. On there, there you'll find a link directly to the chapter events and local programs for SCORE. Click on that and register right online. We'll get you all set. So please, we'll look forward to having a lot of people at this one.
You pay right online, PayPal?
That's correct.
Yep.
So
okay, we also have another 5-week Simple Steps program starting soon in September.
Yeah, the Simple Steps program, the first program on that is going to be September the 20th. That's a morning program. It runs from 8 o'clock in the morning until about 12:30. It includes breakfast, it includes lunch, and it includes an entire 3 hours on what it takes to be an entrepreneur, what you need to know to start a business, and are you really, you know, emotionally and mentally ready to take on the idea of starting a business? That is the first of 5 sessions. It's $25. And again, we ask that you register for that one first. Get a feel for the program. See what you want to do. After
that
program,
it's a good overview of the whole 5.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then after that program, the next 4 come up in October. They're October 3rd, 10th, 17th, and 24th. Those are Wednesday nights. They run from 6 to 9 down at the chamber office again. And we ask that you sign up for those after you've gone through the first one. So, again, go out to our website. Take a look. There's an explanation of what's all involved with it. But we found that the Simple Steps program is an excellent way for people to sit down, learn what they need to know about starting a business, about a business plan, and the parts and pieces.
This is the 4th one we've been running now.
Right.
Coming up, and the 4 sessions include things like what type of business entity is best for my business, social media marketing.
Right.
There's accounting, understanding of financial statements.
Right.
And I think the last one is where do you find the money and how do you approach a banker?
Right, with all kinds of questions to be asked.
A lot of good
there.
Information. And we usually have 10 to 15, 20 people there?
Yes, we usually have about 20 participants. But the other thing that we have is our mentors from SCORE.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have maybe 5 or 6 of those people there also. So first of all, you get to meet these people. So in the event that you want to have a SCORE mentor, you can meet the people that you'll be dealing with. And also there are just a wealth of information. There's so much knowledge and background there. So as we go through the program, they can make all of this stuff a lot more real, a lot more clear to you. So it's an excellent, excellent program for everybody.
Great. Well, thanks, Randy, and we're looking forward to seeing many of you at our seminar and our webinars.
Yeah, yes. Just one last point here I'd like to make. Those of you out there that are veterans and are interested in taking part in any of the SCORE programs, a reminder that SCORE has a new program. It's called Veterans Fast Launch Initiative. You can find that out on the www.score.org. That's the national website. Out there, you take a look at what's available. You can get a coupon that allows you to attend any of the seminars that we offer for free.
Yep.
So there's no charge to veterans if you have that
good
coupon.
Program.
Excellent
good
idea, program. And it has a lot of other things for you for starting your business. So veterans out there who are looking for help, have ideas, and want to get them off the ground, go out to that website, take a look at the SCORE Veterans Fast Launch Initiative.
I'd also like to just say that in our economy, in the nation's economy, America's economy, the small business is the largest employer of people.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, small businesses employ more people than the large companies do. So if anyone is thinking of starting business, collectively, you have a big impact. Every successful business is going to make a big impact on how our economy recovers.
Mm-hmm.
So
if
you're thinking of something, go for it. Also like to say thank you to our sponsors who bring you the SCORE BizTalk program each weekend. Our sponsors include Associated Bank, Alberts & Haling CPAs. Kurt Haling is with us this morning. We also would like to thank Lakeview Credit Union for their support, the Hurling Clark Law Firm out on Lindale Drive. Want to say thank you to the Business News for helping to promote our program and their biweekly periodical, Business News. If you are not subscribed to Business News, I'd encourage you to do so. $20 for the year, every other week. You get some relevant information that's going to be very pertinent to your business. And we'd like to thank eBiz Results, located in Oshkosh. They actually built our new website for us. And BizTalk with SCORE is our new website. You can go there. In fact, if you go there now, we come back on the other side of the break, you can even email questions to us because Randy has his laptop all fired up, and you can shoot us a comment or shoot us a question. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll begin a conversation with Kurt Haling of Albertson Haling CPAs. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Welcome back to BizTalk this morning. Again, my name is Tony Bush. Randy Melzer, the co-host in the studio this morning.
Good morning again.
And our guest this morning is Mr. Kurt Haling. Kurt is one of the owners and a member. He's a CPA with Albertson Haling CPAs, with offices both in, I guess, Nina Appleton might be. It's on
the
America
Fox
Drive.
Valley is the best way to say it.
Okay.
America
it's
Drive.
Town of Menasha. It's a Nina address, but it's closer to Appleton than anything.
And Green Bay. So good morning, Kurt.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the program this morning. We always enjoy your visits. Every quarter you come in and make us a little smarter about accounting and budgeting and planning and taxes.
Taxes, that wonderful word.
And we are seemingly, when we listen to the media these days, we're kind of headed towards some kind of a cliff. Can you tell us a little bit about you, your firm, and then let's get into this, trying to decipher a little bit. We won't get it all done, but tell us a little bit about the tax cliff.
Well, what the tax cliff is we're coming up on a very unusual situation where in less than 6 months, we're not going to know what the tax rules are going to be. And it makes it very difficult from a planning standpoint for individuals or small businesses to know how to operate or know how to plan for their business or individual finances if we don't know what the tax rules are going to be.
Well, the tax rules today, we know what they are.
We know what they are for 2012, for the most part.
Yeah, and there's a surprise or two you said there but before the show. But when 2013 kicks in on January 1st, with what we know today, there will be some tax rules there, right?
There will be some tax rules. What will basically happen is the changes that came in place in the early 2000s through the Bush administration are going to go away, and we're going to revert to the rules that were in place before that, unless, of course, somebody comes along and changes the rules.
And there's a lot of media speculation about posturing and the Republicans and the Democrats.
Posturing extensions right. of certain things, not extending other things. But you're in a situation where literally every American taxpayer could be affected by this, because one of the things that comes into play is there's a 10% tax bracket that was created by the Bush tax changes, and that would go away. So anybody who pays their first dime of tax, that 10%, is going to be affected by that. That would go back to 15%, which is what it was in the late.
If you're listening to the program and you have a question for Kurt or you'd like to comment on the taxes, we invite you to call us at 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, you can use the TDS Metrocom toll-free line, 1-866-887-1150, or you can email us at biztalkwithscore.com on your computer, and we'll catch that comment right here.
Right. Just one quick comment on that, too. We are talking about taxes. We're talking about things that are going to affect you in a business sense. We're not getting into the politics of it, so please, if you have questions, keep it businesslike.
Yeah. When it's like Joe Friday used to say on badge 714, just the facts, man.
Just the facts.
So we're going to try to make a little bit of sense, but if we stay on this course, Kurt, with where we are right now, what are some things that the business owners are going to be facing come January 1st?
What the business owners are going to be facing is one thing that will go away is or be reduced drastically is the first-year write-off for fixed asset purchases. So, for instance, buying a
Depreciation.
So, for instance, things such as buying new pieces of equipment, how much can get written off the first year, that would change unless something changes.
What is it now, and what could it go to?
Well, right now you can write off as much as $100,000 in new equipment purchases, given certain guidelines and whatnot. But if it goes back to the rules the way they were before, that goes back to $25,000. Well, that's a huge swing.
That's a big swing. That means people pay more taxes.
Exactly.
Just a question on this. The way you keep referring back and forth to it, just to clarify in my mind, the situation is such that these rules are in place right now. If they change them or do something, would that affect my position and what taxes I'm going to be paying for 2012? Or does that go forward?
It's more of a forward-looking issue from 2013 on, except for there's a couple of items with respect to 2012 that are still hanging in the balance. For the last several years, one thing that's gotten changed typically between Christmas and New Year's is something out there called the alternative minimum tax. And the way I explain the alternative minimum tax to people is it's the tax you pay if the government thinks you're not paying enough tax.
Okay.
It is really the best way to explain it. It came about in the mid-1980s, and it was designed to affect 0.1% of the taxpayers in the country. Well, it's slowly been affecting more and more taxpayers. The threshold where that kicks in, it is set at about $30,000 lower right now than it would have been in previous years. Every year they've bumped that up, and I would expect them to bump it up again, but we don't know that for a fact, especially being an election year and everything else going on. So that could have a huge impact, and one of the first add-backs in computing alternative minimum tax is property taxes and state income taxes. So anybody that pays property tax, anybody that pays state income taxes could be affected by it.
Okay.
And you're saying, Kurt, that the threshold is lower than it should be, which means the government gives has the opportunity to collect more taxes.
Exactly.
So what is the threshold now?
Right now the threshold is $75,000. It would go down to $45,000 unless they bring it back up to $75,000. So for 2011, it was $75,000. For 2012, it's still set at 45, but if they bring it back up, it'll be 75,000.
And
that's not a lot of income.
Is that a personal income or a business income?
That is personal income, but that can be affected by business income if it comes through on an S corporation or an LLC.
LLC, S corporation.
All of that's going to affect it.
It's only $75,000 of income.
Correct.
Right.
Now, what is an alternative minimum tax? Is that 6%? Is that 14%?
It's actually at 24%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what they do is they compare the alternative minimum tax as it's recomputed, which, let's say, turns into a major math problem that you don't want to try and get into on the air. But it ends up being that tax compared with what your tax would be normally, and you end up paying the higher of the two.
So the normal tax might be 15%, and the alternative minimum might calculate to 24%. Guess what you're going to pay?
Exactly.
The 24.
Right.
On $75,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And now that's your taxable income?
That's on taxable income.
Right. Now for a family, say for a husband and wife filing jointly, does that change it to the number from 75,000?
That is jointly.
That is
joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kurt, when you mentioned that alternative minimum tax was introduced in the 80s, do you recall what the threshold at that time was? The income?
No, I was in high school in the 80s, Tony. I'm not as old as you are.
I thought you were a stellar student in those days. But I'm sure what you're saying is that the income back in the 80s might have been about 50, 60,000,
right.
And today it's 75.
Right.
But given adjusting for inflation, that income should really be closer in a six-figure area someplace.
Exactly. And that's why it's affecting more and more people now than it did back then. And the original design of it, it has kind of been convoluted to where you wanted to only affect 0.1% of the population that was taking advantage of these tax loopholes, and now you're affecting as many as 10% of the population, even at 75,000.
Mm-hmm. So it really demonstrates, I think, what you're saying with this alternative minimum tax, just this one little example of how the citizens need to stay tuned to what's going on in their governments. Don't just put people in place in office and then forget about them, because here we are 20, 30 years, 30 years later, and we're getting taxed on that, which was never intended to be taxed.
Exactly.
At this point.
Right.
Okay. Just another thing, too, is that, of course, if you sit there and say, all right, well, fine, I have so much income that's my own, but my business, how does that affect me? In most cases, we're talking S-Corp or we're talking a sole proprietorship. That income comes right back through.
You're talking those sorts of businesses where the income passes through to the owner, which brings up the situation of you may need to go back and reevaluate your business entity. Should you still be an S-Corp? Should you still be an LLC? Or is it going to make more sense to be a C-Corporation at that point?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to reevaluate those businesses based on whatever rules are in place come 2013.
And Kurt, that's an important point because I recall that you can go from C Corp to S Corp or S Corp to C Corp like only one time for a while. Then you,
there's a 5-year limitation.
Yeah, so you can't which one is
and,
which?
You can't bounce back and forth every year depending on what suits you that year. There's a 5-year window.
So you make your decision, you're stuck with that for 5 years.
You're stuck with it for at least 5 years, right.
And the other big thing we want to just reiterate here for folks who may not remember or didn't hear this before is that if you are an LLC, you are not recognized as an entity by the IRS.
Right, and when I talk with people and we say, well, how are you structured for tax purposes? They say, I'm an LLC. We say, that's great, but how are you structured for tax purposes? And a lot of times we get blank stares because an LLC in and of itself is a legal entity, is not a tax entity. The IRS has a fancy phrase called disregarded entity, which means they don't care that you're an LLC. What they want is, are you a sole proprietor, partnership, S-corp, or C-corporation? If you're an LLC, you can make an election be taxed as a C-corporation or an S-corporation. If you don't make that election, then if you've got two or more parties involved, your partnership, otherwise you are sole proprietorship for tax purposes.
So it is important for business owners who do form a new business and form an LLC to keep in mind you need the legal... You need the attorney for the legal considerations of an LLC, but when you're talking about taxes, it's not even an entity IRS recognizes. So you really do have to visit with a CPA and get some guidance on what your personal situation is.
Exactly.
Okay, I think we're just about coming up to a break here at this point in time, so we will be back right after that. You're listening to Biz Talk here on WHBY, the voice of the Fox City, 1150 WHBY.
And welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're visiting with Kurt Haling here in the studio. Kurt Haling is one of the owners of Albert's Haling CPAs, located in Fox Cities and Green Bay. Kurt's office is on American Drive. If you have a question for us, please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you at 281-1150, 281-1150. And if you're outside our Appleton area, you can call us on the TDS Metricom toll-free line at 1-866-887-1150. And if you're at your computer, if you're listening at the office, or if you're at home just surfing the web, send us an email at biztalkwithscore.com. That's biztalkwithscore.com. Randy's watching the computer.
Right.
Kurt, we were talking a little bit before the break about if we stay on this course with our tax regulations the way they are right now, and we're hearing all this stuff in the news about we're headed for a cliff, you pointed out that one of the major changes is going to be the depreciation or write-off allowance. It's going to go from $100,000 down to $25,000.
And I say that because it could be, and that's one of the things that makes it so difficult,
right?
Because we don't know what the rules are going to be come 2013. We can only deal with what we know today. So that's where tax planning today for 2012 is going to be so important, and staying in tune with what's going on in Congress and with the tax laws is going to be so important, because it's going to be one of the driving forces behind helping business owners make decisions with their businesses.
Exactly. We can't take what we're talking about today or next week and make a decision for 13, but we can be informed about what might be on this hand or that hand or that hand. But I think we have to make some decisions that we have to move quickly toward the end of the year, depending on how these decisions come down from Washington.
Right. And the other thing you need to keep in mind is you still need to make the best economic decision for your business with tax consequences being taken into consideration but not being the driving force behind it necessarily. And by that I mean you still need to make smart business decisions from a cash flow standpoint and a business economic standpoint, not just for tax purposes.
I had a client one time when I was in banking, and he was a trucking company, and he was really not doing well in terms of profits. His profits were very marginal, and the CPA had him on maximum depreciation schedules.
And so he wasn't taking advantage of. And so
exactly.
He was taking more depreciation than he really needed.
He couldn't use it.
And it was going out the window.
Exactly. So your point is really well made, and business owners need to understand the concepts and the general directions, but be prepared to move quickly before January 1st comes in case you can make some decisions that will benefit your company, both tax-wise and cash flow and economically speaking.
Right, because from an economic standpoint, for instance, a piece of equipment you may look at and say, okay, I need it, when do I buy it? Well, then you take the tax consequences into consideration. Do we do it in 2012? Do we do it in 2013?
But you don't buy it just to get the deduction.
But you don't buy it just to get the deduction
for it. No, that's a waste of money.
Right.
Are there any other considerations that you would advise a business owner about with the upcoming change in the tax laws? And we don't know what the changes are, but what would you advise a business owner to watch for, other than depreciation expense?
One of the other things that's going to come into play is with respect to employees and hiring and the effects of the health care regulations coming up.
That's big.
You're going to need to get educated on that, on what your responsibilities are going to be, which those rules are finally getting unwound and communicated to the public. It was one of those situations where the rules were out there, but we didn't know exactly how they were going to be enforced or how they're going to be implemented. Those are slowly coming out. We still don't know everything behind it. Unfortunately, it sounds like they're going to make the accountants into the enforcement agent as far as some of the health insurance rules.
Well, we've heard that they're hiring a lot of IRS agents to police, with the power to police personal accounts and things.
Exactly.
So obviously the CPAs and the accounting industry are going to get caught up in that as one of the cogs in that wheel. Kurt, in terms of giving tax planning advice to a business owner, what would be the top two or three points you'd suggest to them today?
Well, number one, have a good, clear understanding of where your business is from a financial standpoint. And from that by that, I mean understanding your balance sheet, understanding your profit and loss statement so that you understand where you're at from a profitability standpoint. That's really step one, so that you understand if there's issues that need to be taken care of before the end of the year. And I'm not saying that you need to, you know, get to a college level accounting type understanding, but just having a basic understanding of what your balance sheet is and what your profit and loss is and what it's telling you and how things are categorized, so that you can understand what impact these decisions have on your business.
When you use the term, you understand what your balance sheet is, I think you're referring to things like what's your equity position, your debt-to-worth ratio is number one, and number two might be your liquidity in the balance sheet.
Liquidity, your current ratio, your quick ratio, and what those are what do you have for current assets, which are your cash, your accounts receivable, your inventory, as opposed to your accounts payable and your liabilities that need to be paid within 1 year.
Yeah.
And from a quick ratio standpoint, it's your accounts receivable and your cash and your other current assets other than inventory as compared to your payables and
the same liability number, yeah.
Right.
And that gives an indication of how do you pay your bills quickly without having a big inconvenience or getting behind on vendors, that sort of thing, payroll accounts, taxes.
And from a practical standpoint, it says where are you going to get the money to pay the next month's bills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the other thing on the balance sheet that's important is the overall debt-to-worth ratio. If a company has a $1,000 balance sheet, total assets, and there's $100 of equity and $900 of debt, that's pretty lopsided. It shouldn't be more than 4-to-1 or a $200 equity position and an $800 debt position, or less debt than that would be better.
Right, and Tony's speaking like a banker, because from an accountant standpoint, I want to keep that equity position and profit position as low as possible from a tax standpoint. But that's where you run into situations where you have, you know, going back to this depreciation discussion, you can have depreciation for book purposes and for tax purposes, where for book purposes, maybe you write something off over a longer period of time. Its true useful life might be 5, 7, or 10 years. But for tax purposes, you can write it off all in 1 year. So literally, you can keep two sets of books from that standpoint.
Right.
And legally, keep two sets of books from that standpoint. So what you show the bank might be different than what's on the tax return for that reason.
Right. And I think what drives what you just said, Kurt, is what is the impact on the cash flow of the company.
Exactly.
Because if you can take a lot of depreciation this year, you're going to pay less in taxes.
Correct.
And that saves you some cash flow.
That saves you some cash flow. And getting back to the purchases of fixed assets, one of the things you got to keep in mind is how are you going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to finance it? Are you going to pay for it directly out of cash flow, which we typically don't encourage unless there's a huge amount of cash flow available. And even then, we say there's probably some better way to pay for it, because from a practical standpoint, you want to match up the payments for those assets over the useful life of those assets as much as possible.
The amortization of the loan.
Right.
Yeah.
So in other words, you don't want to make a long-term decision based on a short-term tax advantage is what I'm hearing.
Based on a short-term tax advantage and using short-term capital.
Right. You know, that cash flow problem, again, everything. Tony keeps eyes keep lighting up every time we say the word cash flow over here, but at least we got his attention now. But, yes, yeah, you know, the idea.
It's big.
You have got to sit down and have the money to be able to run your business and yet be in a position to react to whatever does happen coming up. There's a couple other areas you talked about as far as some of the effects. One might be in the area of inheritance. We talked a little bit on off mic on that, too. But we do need to take a break right now, Tony.
And we're going to take a quick break, Kurt. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to Biz Talk. We're going to be finishing up our final segment here this morning. We're talking with Kurt Haling, but I'd like to just put out a quick thank you to the GRR for texting me during the break. Glad you're listening to the show and glad you're learning something. Kurt, we were talking a little bit before the break about the different things that business owners can do to plan for these unknown changes coming up at the end of the year. But there are some things that will impact individuals as well.
Before we do that,
we have to go back. Who are you anyway? Where can folks get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with us at 886-2241 in the Valley, 405-8549 in Green Bay.
What was that Appleton number again?
886-2241.
Okay. And do you have an email address? Or?
Our website is Alberts, Alberts-Haling, H-E-L-I-N-G. cpas.com.
Okay.
So you can check that out. Okay. And then links to emails and everything from there.
What does your firm specialize in, Kurt?
We specialize in a lot of small business tax planning, as you probably gathered from our discussion this morning. Small business being anything from a one-man shop, maybe working out in his garage, to some of the places you might see in the industrial parks that have 25, 30 employees.
Okay. And you've probably heard this old story about the fellow who wanted to hire a CPA and what kind of work can you do and what will the numbers look like and what was the CPA's response? What do you want them to look like?
What do you want them to look like?
But you're that's just humor, but you are – I've had experience with
that's
you.
That's called bottom-up accounting.
There you go. But I've had experience with you and your firm, and I've made references and referrals to your firm, and I'll continue to do that. And I think you bring a lot of value to BizTalk and to the SCORE chapter, so thanks for being a sponsor for our program.
Well, and we appreciate the referrals, and I know I just met with somebody this week that Randy had sent over, and we'll be able to help her out as well. So.
Right. Okay, well, now that we know who you are, thanks, Kurt. Tell us a little bit about the individual tax planning strategies that we might be watching for.
Well, there's a couple of things, more than a couple of things, that'll change on the individual side potentially as well, because all of the credits that came into place in the 2000s are up in the air as well. And by credits, I mean things like the child credit, the $1,000 child credit that you get for having a child, that would go down or potentially go away. Tuition credits that came into play are up in the air. So if you get kids that are going to college or soon to be going to college, that's up in the air. So there's a lot of these things that are going to affect people. It's not just things. You know, a lot of times in the media, they make it sound as if it's only going to affect certain people. This is going to affect
across
anybody who files a tax return.
Everybody who files. How many people file tax returns, by the way?
There's over 100 million filed, and that includes the joint returns. So, I mean, that's husband and wife. So,
if there are 330 million people in the country, how many should be filing? I mean, do you have any idea? Because the kids don't file tax returns. They're part of the 330. So.
Right. If the kids don't file tax returns, a lot of times the elderly don't file tax returns because all they're doing is getting Social Security. So, I mean, you're looking out of the 330 in the country, over 250 to 280 million, and this is off the top of my head, 250 to $80 million should be filing returns either with either as part of a joint return, husband and wife, or on their own.
Because you hear things in the media about like 49% of the people don't pay any income taxes.
But that doesn't mean they don't file a return.
Yeah. So they still file a return. They just don't have to pay a tax.
Correct. In a lot of situations, they're actually getting refunds based on earned income credits and child credits and things like that. So this could affect them as well.
So how, any other individual consequences?
Oh, we could go right down the line. I mean, everything from 401ks could get affected, health care can get affected.
Anything about IRA contributions?
IRA contributions could be limited if they put them back to where they were 10 years ago. One thing that's going to come up through the health care plan is the amount that you can put into flex spending is going to start getting limited. So there's a lot of these things coming from different angles that are going to get affected.
One of the other things that the business people may face and so on is a question about inheritance. If you're going to be selling your business or whatever, are there effects in that area?
Well, again, potentially, because right now the estate tax kicks in at $5 million. If that falls down to $1 million, that's going to affect a lot of people. You know, $5 million doesn't affect nearly as many people as $1 million does. And, you know, people listening might say, well, I don't have $1 million. But if you think about it, if you've got a couple hundred thousand dollars in IRAs and 401ks, if you've got a home that's paid for, and then if you inherit money through a life insurance policy that's a few hundred thousand dollars, it's not that hard to go over $1 million. I met with a gal on Thursday whose husband passed away. She inherited $350,000 from a life insurance policy. She has his old 401k, which is about $300,000, and then they've got their house and some other assets. She's over $1 million. If this thing falls down, she's potentially subject to estate tax.
So if someone's estate goes over that $1 million or the $5 million, there are some legal things they can do in trust planning and estate planning to help mitigate that.
Trust planning, estate planning, life insurance planning all would come into play at that point. And, you know, back in the 90s, for instance, the threshold was $600,000.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's a lifetime threshold, and there's an annual $13,000?
For gifting purposes, $13,000 as well.
So as you can see from the numbers that are being kicked around here and so on, it isn't a case where the big guy is the only one who has to be concerned. Everybody who's in business, whether you're making, you're a large business, a small business, one-man shop, whatever, the consequences are there for all of you. Mm-hmm. So best rule would be, number one, have your ducks in a row. Number two, have a good accountant and tax attorney.
Exactly. Number one, get a good understanding of where you're at. And then number two, once you know where you're at, you can get some good planning advice.
What's your biz tip, Kurt?
Proper planning prevents poor performance.
Well, there you go. And where can he reach you? Where can folks reach you again?
Our Applin number is 886-2241.
And you're on American Drive.
On American Drive and down the valley.
And your website is?
Alberts-Haling-CPAs.com.
Good. Well, Kurt, thanks so much for being our guest this
morning. Always appreciate it.
Good program. And if you're listening to the program this morning, you want to revisit this program, probably within a couple of weeks, this will be archived out on our website, biztalkwithscore.com. Don't forget Kevin Eisman's event coming up on August 16. Randy, real quickly, just a couple seconds for that.
Okay, yes. That will be on business law questions, errors, and pitfalls that everybody should be aware of before they go into them, not after.
August 16.
August 16th at
Chamber
the
Building.
Chamber Building.
8 to 11.
8 to 11, and the price is $35. Register out on the SCORE website.
Good. That would be foxcities.score.org.
Correct.
Thank you again for listening. You're listening to BizTalk, the voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.